Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Samach Tes. We will begin on Daf Samach Tes Amar Aleph by the Mishnah. Rav Tarfon Omer, V'choylem Mamzeim V'tohar. Rav Tarfon comes up with a way how somebody who Rachman Tzlan is a Mamzer could get his family accepted into Klal Yisrael. Ketzed. Mamzer Shenasa Shifcha. We go back to what we discussed in the previous sugya. If a Mamzer marries a Shifcha, Havlad Evid. The child is an Evid. Shichroi. Then when somebody frees that Eved, Nimtza ben Chayrim, he's a full-fledged Jew. Rabbi Lez Oimer, Hareza Eved Mamzi. Rabbi Lez says you haven't accomplished anything because the title, the category of Mamzer remains with him. And the Gemara will explain the Machlokes of Tarfon Rabbi Lez. The Pnei Yeshua asks, why doesn't the Mishnah give us a different piece of advice? Let the Mamzer marry a non-Jewish woman. We learned yesterday that a child of a non-Jewish woman is non-Jewish and not a mamzer. And then afterwards, he'll be Magai himself. So Pnei Yeshua says, an Eved, we know the halach is he's mechuyev to fulfill all mitzvahs. Not only is he mechuyev to fulfill all mitzvahs, as soon as he is freed, he becomes a Jew. On the other hand, a non-Jewish person doesn't automatically become a Jew. He has to go through geirus. So this Jewish father, the mamzer, has no guarantee that his children who are non-Jews, who want to become Jews, and what has he accomplished with that approach? Ibarilahu, ask the Gemara, Rav Tarfon l'chatchila kama di evet kama. Rav Tarfon, who gives us this advice, was he saying this as l'chatchila or as a di evet? As the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, the Pasuk says, l'isiyah kaddish, the din of l'isiyah kaddish means that one's not supposed to have relations with a non-Jewish woman, one's not supposed to have relations outside of marriage. So here, by us telling this mamzer to marry a shifcha, we're telling him to have such a relations. So therefore, the Gemara's question is perhaps it's only b'di'evit that the Mishnah gives him this advice. Or is it l'chatchila? And as the Rishonim explained, how can we suggest that it's l'chatchila? If the halach is that you're not supposed to have such relations, how could we even think it's l'chatchila? So the Rambam says, since, as we learned in the Mishnah, the purpose of this is in order that he should be able to be matar his children. So when did Torah say l'isiyah kaddish? When there's no positive constructive purpose. Here there's a positive purpose. Or another pshat is that the Torah, when it says l'isiyah kaddish, speaks to a regular Jew. Here, on the other hand, we're speaking to a mamzer. He's not the regular person, he's a mamzer, and therefore to him the Torah doesn't say it. And we can take it even a step further. When the Torah says the lav of Liyah Kadesh, it doesn't say it explicitly, you can't live with a shivcha, you can't live with a nachris. The Torah says it in a sort of an ambiguous way. Why did the Torah say it in an ambiguous way? To tell us that sometimes it may be permissible. When? In such a situation. Toshma. So says the Gemara, we'll have a raya. Amrlo l'Rabtarfin, the Chacham said to Rabtarfin, Tiharta esan zecharim, v'loi tiharta esan nekevus. Which means as follows. This is the way the Rishonim explained. In those days, men traveled much more easily than women. So Chacham told Rabtarfin, a man who's a mamza here, that nobody's going to want to marry, has it easy, he could travel elsewhere, and his wife will be a shivcha, he'll come, he'll get married to a shivcha, and the shivcha's children, as we learned in the Mishnah, will become kosher Jews. Women had it harder to travel, and therefore, they're going to be stuck. Now, if we're going to say Reb Tarfon's advice, even works l'chatchila, mamzeres nami timtza l'avda, so why she doesn't have to travel? It's something you're allowed to do l'chatchila. Answers the Gemara, the reason by mamzeres it won't work is for a different reason. Eved ein l'chayis. Again, we go back to the previous sugya. If the mother is a mamzeres and the father is an eved, so we said that if the father is not Jewish or the father is an eved, then the child follows his mother. So what have we accomplished that telling the mamzeres to marry an eved? The child will still be a mamzer. So it's not that Rabbi Tarfon only gave his advice to a male and not a female, because a male could travel, a female can't. Is because the advice won't work for a female. In fact, to the degree that I saw the Mefarshim are puzzled, what's the whole dialogue? What was the Gemara's Havamina that this should work for a woman if we just finished learning a sugya at the end of yesterday's shir, that a woman who's married to an Eved, the child, as we learned in the Mishnah, follows her? So the Rishonim want to explain, the Achronim want to explain, that the Gemara and the Havamin assumes that when you have two parents, each comes with his own problem. One is an Eved, one is a Mamzer. The Gemara and the Havamin assumed that we follow which is the bigger Pegima, which is the bigger issue. And being an Eved is worse than being a Mamzer. That's why the Gemara and the Havamin thought that even if the father is an Eved and the mother is a Mamzeris, the child will be an Eved because that's a bigger stigma. And that the Gemara answers, it has nothing to do with, in this story of Aaron Kotler explains the Gemara, it has nothing to do with stigmas. A person whose father is an Eved has no yichus, has no connection to his father, and we only look at what his mother is, irrespective of what his father is. So we still have our question. Our question is Reb Tarfin's advice, is l'chatchilu or b'di'evet? Says the Gemara, Toshma, du'shpizin cheder of Samloi, the landlord where of Samloi lived, Mamzahava. He was a Mamzer. Vomalei, so he got married to a Mamzeris. And we know if a Mamzer marries Mamzeris, the children of Mamzerim, this could propagate. So Samloi told him, Ikadmin, if you came to me first, Terinu, I could have given you advice how you could have children who are not Mamzerim. Terinu Lubinach, I could have saved your children. So if we're going to say that the advice Reb Tarfin gives us in the Mishnah is l'chatchila digger advice. Shapra, we understand what Reb Samloi is saying. He would have told him what Reb Tarfin taught us in the Mishnah. Eli Amrit Yevid, if we're going to say the word Reb Tarfin suggests in the Mishnah is only b'di'evid, my nihu, so that's not advice Reb Samloi could have given l'chatchila. So what did Reb Samloi mean with the comment he made to his landlord? Says, my nihu mensav le'etza. What kind of advice could he give him? So I'll tell you what kind of advice he could have given. Omlei zil genoif v'zdabim be'evet ivri. Go steal, and if you steal, the halacha is, if you don't have to pay back, you become an evet ivri. The halacha is, an evet ivri's owner could give him a shifcha kananis. And then, if you'll marry, then the Mishnah's advice kicks in. So obviously, the question is, are we going to give him advice to steal? So Rashi gives two terutzim to that question. One question is the Gemara could have asked that question. The Gemara is going to ask a better question. That's one answer Rashi gives. Another answer Rashi gives is that there's a machloikis. We actually learned the machloikis. Some shita say that the only time an owner could give an Eved a wife is if the Eved was sold because he stole and couldn't pay back. But there's another opinion that says any Eved Ivri could be given a wife. So it doesn't mean that you have to steal. Stealing is prohibited. It means that you go sell yourself as an Eved Ivri, and after you sell yourself as an Eved Ivri, your owner will be able to give you a wife. Other Rishonim say that stealing would be permitted. A number of pshatim. One pshat is that he would steal, but he would tell the people who he's stealing from, I'm stealing only because I have this problem. Another Taisus Rid says that if you're stealing with a positive purpose, with a constructive purpose, then you're allowed to steal. Very bechiddush. Most mefarshim disagree with the Taisus Rid. I saw that the Paiskim discuss, are you allowed to take a sefer out of a shul without permission? Because you want to learn, they say, vada, it's asr. But Taisus Rid and the Meir Mefarshim explain the Taisus Rid. Here, where you have such a purpose and you have no other way of accomplishing your goal, you're allowed to steal. And yet another opinion in the Rishonim is if stealing is being done with the purpose of making an item better, that's how I steal something from you and I'm going to improve it and then give it back, it's permitted. Here, his goal was to become an Eved Ivri, marry a Shifcha Kananis, and after marrying the Shifcha Kananis, he'll be able to free those children and those children will become full-fledged Jews. So it's with a positive purpose and that's why it's permitted. But then there's another question. We know there's a pasuk in the Torah, Parshas Mishpatim, Umbegapoi Yavoi, the Gapa Yetzei. That the only, Baal Ishahu, if he's married, that's when the owner is allowed to give him a Shifcha Kananis. So the question is, this Eved, this person, this Mamz is getting sold, they should become an Eved Ivri and get a wife. He's a single man. A single man. An owner can't give a wife. So what kind of advice is this? So I saw two answers. One answer is he maybe had children from previous marriage. Another answer is that when Eved Ivri doesn't have a wife, we're not allowed to force him to take a Shifcha Kenanis as a wife. But if he's prepared to take one on his own, then he could take it. And that's why it's permitted. And then I saw a third teretz. We actually spoke about this earlier in the Masechta. Why is there a din? If we were thinking about it, we would maybe say just the opposite. If this person is previously married, he's allowed to get a Shifcha Kenanis. If he's not previously married, then we're not allowed to give him Shifcha Kenanis. Why? Maybe just the opposite. The answer is, if he's previously married, so when his term is up, he's going to want to go back to his family. But if he's not previously married, and here he has a Shifcha Kenanis, and here he has children with a Shifcha Kenanis, he's going to want to remain with a Shifcha Kenanis. That's why it's a difference if he's single or married. This person can't go back to a family. He can't get married to anyone. He's a mamzer. So therefore, the concern that exists by everybody doesn't exist by him. But then there's one more question the Mefarshim has. What are we saying? Let him get married to the Shifcha Kenanis, and then we'll free the children. But we've learned at the beginning of the Masechta, Lo'ilam Bem Tavaydu. You're not allowed to free a Eved Kenani. So what do we say? Get married, have children, who are Evadim Kenanim, and then free them. You're not allowed to free an Eved Kenani. Lo'ilam Bem Tavaydu. So Mefarshim answer, the din that Lo'ilam Bem Tavaydu, you're not allowed to free an Eved Kenani, is only when you're just going to free your Eved Kenani. But if there's a purpose, or I'm getting paid to do it, then I'm allowed to. That's the case here. The whole situation was created in order to create children who are not mamzerim, or the person will pay the owner to let them out. Then there's no issur of osel shakar eved kenani. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that this was what Reb Simloi meant? Ubishneider Simloi eved every mehava. In his time, did there exist a concept of an Eved Ivri? V'amamar, ein Eved Ivri noig, el bezman sheyovel noig. The entire concept of Eved Ivri is only when there's yovel, el lav shmamino. Rav Tarfon l'chatchil kama. What would Rav Simloi give him as advice? Rav Tarfon's eitza, and it's an eitza l'chatchil, shmamino. The Rav Tarfon's advice is an advice that the mamzer could follow l'chatchil. And indeed, says the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda Meshmul, the aloch is like Rav Tarfon. Rav Elazar, however, we learned in our Mishnah, disagreed. He said, Hareza Evan Mamzer. The child that would be born from the Mamzer and the Shifcha Kenanis still has the stigma of being a Mamzer. Om Rav Elazar, my Tamid Rav Elazar, what's the reasoning for Rav Elazar? Dom Akra, Loi. The Pasuk says, Gam Dar Asiri, La Yovel Loi Bekal Hashem, a Pasuk by Mamzer, to teach us Holachach Psuloi, that no matter what, if somebody has a parent who's a mamzer, the child carries that stigma, whichever parent he has, whichever other issue he has. Rabbanon, how do Rabbanon explain that pasuk? That pasuk, they say, is talking about Yisrael, shenos mamzeres, where you have the fathers of Yisrael, the mothers of mamzeres. Salkadai techamina, as we began this sugya, that the pasuk says, l'mishpachoysom, l'beis avoysom, you always follow the father, kasav loy, Asalai to teach us to know. If the father is Yisrael and the mother is a mamzer, Afgei follow the mother, not the father. Reb Elazar, Lav Afgav Diksiv L'mishpachoysim L'beis Avoysom, doesn't the pasuk mean Asalai Afgei? Just like when the pasuk says when a Yisrael marries a mamzeris, the child is a mamzer, says Reb Elazar, Hachnami, the same then applies Afgav Diksiv Isha V'yodeh T'ilodinah, then normally if one's mother is a shifcha, the child is also a shifcha. Asaloi, the law comes to tell us that don't ignore the father's category, the father's status. And if the father's a mamzer, even though the mother is a shifcha and the children are a vadim, that doesn't take away their being a mamzer. Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Elazar, they say kavlad b'mei shifcha kananis, kavlad b'mei heimadami. A child that's born to a shifcha is like a child born to an animal. That we totally disregard the father. And therefore we have a situation, as Reb Tarfon suggests, the Rabbanan and Reb Tarfon agree, that the child is born to a shifcha, we don't care who the father is. And therefore the fact that the father is a mamzer does not pass on to the children. And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua says, now we have a whole different explanation to what we learned in the previous year in understanding the Mishnah that says that whenever one's father is non-Jewish, whatever, one's father is non-Jewish and mother is Jewish, or his father is Eved and the mother is Jewish, why we disregard the father? Because of the Svarad Rabbanan said, Kovlad Behem Veshifka Kananas, Kovlad Behem Bedami. As we finish our perek, we'll just say a nice word from the Kedusha Harim. Kedusha Harim says, we just learned in the Gemara that Ein Eved Ivri Noig El Bezman Sheyovel Noig. What does that mean? He says, we learn from here a tremendous concept. We learn from here the concept, he says, that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to us difficult times, there's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also thinking how to get out of the problems. Ein Eved Ivri Noig. Here you have a person that never becomes an Eved. El Bezman Sheyovel Noig. But there's also a Yovel that will take him out of his Avdus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never brings sorrows to Klal Yisrael without having the refuah, without having the Yeshua also in place. Shvi zaychet Yeshuas. Hadron l'cha'imer, hadron l'cha'imer, hadron l'cha'imer. We begin the last parak of the Masechta. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Says the Mishnah, sorry, yachsim olam u'bovel. 10 different categories of Jews left Bovel. Kahani, Levi, Yisraeli, Chalolim, we discussed, Gerim, V'charurei, Charurim are Avodim that were freed, Mamzeri, Nesinim, I just spoke about Nesinim the other day, so I'm not going to repeat that conversation. Shtuki Vasufi, the Mishnah will soon define. Here, again, Yuchsim, the Rishonim explained, is not to be understood as Yichus, somebody of a higher level of Yichus, just identifying 10 different categories. Farshim also asked, why aren't Avodim mentioned in our Mishnah? And the answer, it's very understandable after finishing the previous suga. If we explain that Avodim is Kavlad Behema, Avodim aren't really considered in a category of Yichus at all, that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention them. Furthermore, some say that they are somewhat mentioned. If we're speaking about Charurim, Avodim that were freed, so Avodim are alluded to. Another pshat, as we're going to learn in the sugya Mitzvashem, the reason they took these people out of Bavel was to keep control in Eretz Yisrael would be easier to keep control of the Yichus over Bavel. But these people, it was impossible, there's nothing to keep control. They're not part of Klal Yisrael, so they could remain in Bavel. Everybody knew they were Avodim. Everybody would not get married to them. Says the Mishnah, Kehanan Leviv Yisraelim, Mutarim Lava Zabizeh. All these people can intermarry. Levi Yisrael, Chaloli, Geir, V'charuri, Mutarim Lava Zabizeh. So here we see that Geirim are not allowed to marry Kohanim. And the three-way Machlokes is showing them why. Rashi says, because by a Giyoris, we have to be concerned that perhaps she had relations, and she's therefore prior, and therefore she's considered a Zayin. Therefore, say to Mepharshim, according to Rashi, it will have a Giyoris, who we know for sure is a Besula, she can marry Kohanim. The Rosh says that even if we know a particular Giyoris is a psula, it doesn't make a difference. Chazal are concerned on every Giyoris. The Ravid has a third opinion. The Ravid says the category of a woman who is a Giyoris is a category of a woman that the Torah prohibits from marrying Kohanim. Geiri Charuri, Mamzeri in the scene of the Shtuki, the Asufi, Kulam Matarim Lael Vazabazah, they all intermarry. Veilam Shtuki, who is a Shtuki? Kol Shemakas Imai, he knows who his mother is, Vedamakas of it, but he doesn't know who his father is. A Sufi, who's in a Sufi? Kosh and Nesef Menashuk, somebody that's left in the street, Vedamak Elias of it, he doesn't know who his father is, Vloy Imai, neither who his mother is. Avishol, Hayukaril Shtuki Baduki, the Gemara will explain why. Says the Gemara, Asar Yuchsin Olam Ubavel. Ask the Gemara, My Ir Yudatanu Olam Ubavel, why does the Mishnah use the wording? Of Olumi Bavel, Nisni, Holchul Eretz Yisrael. Why doesn't the Mishnah use the wording that they came to Eretz Yisrael? And I saw two ways that the Gemara explains the question. One way that the Mepharshim explained the question. One way is, Olumi Bavel means it seems that they only came from Bavel. What is our Mishnah referring to? Our Mishnah is referring to the time that Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael by the building of the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. And he brought Jews from all over the world. So why does our Mishnah speak about Bavel? Should speak about the entire world. That's one way. Another way of explaining, and this is a wonderful introduction to our sugya, is we're going to learn that this that they brought them up from Bavel is not because they were so great. It was the contrary. They brought up from Eretz Yisrael all the people who were of difficult yichus to keep control, and we'll explain in a minute why. So coming to Eretz Yisrael didn't represent anything great. It actually represented something not so wonderful. We can't leave you in Chutz La'aretz. We have to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. So the word Olu, which usually represents an Aliyah coming up, here isn't an appropriate term. Why did they indeed take them out? So Farshim explained, in Eretz Yisrael, they had the Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin will be able to control the Yichus. Chutz La'aretz, we don't have that. Another pshat. As we're going to learn the sugyas at length in this perek, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shechinosoi Ela Al Mishpachos Miuchosis B'Yisrael. The Shechina is only on families of good Yichus. So in Bavel, where the Shechina isn't there, you need to have a Mishpacha Miuchosis. Otherwise, you're not going to have any Shechina. And at Yisrael, the Shechina is there anyway. So that's why they can even bring people of poor Yichus to Eretz Yisrael. So why does the Mishnah use the word Olu? Answers the Gemara, Milsag of Urcha Kamashmon. The Mishnah wants to teach us another din. Kretanya, the Kamta Valisa Lamokoim, Ashivcha Hashem Lakecha, Melamed Shebeis HaMikdash Gevoa Mikol Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael Gevoa Mikol Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other lands. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam Beis HaMikdash Gevoa Mikol Eretz Yisrael, this though we said the Beis HaMikdash is higher than everywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, Hanu Diksiv, Divrei Rivas B'Sherecha, if there's a dispute, the Kamta Valisa, we go to the Sanhedrin, who sat in the Lishkas HaGozes, which was based on Beis HaMikdash. El Eretz Yisrael Gevoa Mikol Haaretz, that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other countries, Menolon, answers the Gemara, the Ksiv, L'chein Hine Yom Boim Num Hashem, Lo Yom Oid, we will no longer say, Chai Hashem, Asher Helas B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that brought up a Klai Yisrael from Eretz Mitzrayim, Kiim Chai Hashem, Asher Helo V'Shehevi, as B'nei Yisrael, with Eretz Tzofayim from the north, Umikol Haaretzos Asher Yedachtem Sham. So it says that Eretz Yisrael is higher. So the Farshim ask, it's not necessarily true that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other countries. So the Farshim answer that it's higher than all the other countries in that area. Even though the Mepharshim point out, it seems that there are mountains in Lebanon that are higher than Eretz Yisrael. So they explain that the mountains of Lebanon that are higher than Eretz Yisrael really are part of Eretz Yisrael. They became part of Lebanon. They're really part of biblical Eretz Yisrael. Others say, the Pasuk says a shehel of a shehevi. What does it mean a shehel of a shehevi? It means that the countries around Eretz Yisrael is higher. The shehevi are countries not in that region that could be higher or equal in height to Eretz Yisrael. For them it says a shehevi. The Retvaz asks that the Gemara says that Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, is Gevoya Mikol Haaretz. He says it's not necessarily factual. So how do we explain that? So he says that the Beis HaMikdash is not the highest point of Yerushalayim. So he says because of all of the different churbanos that Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash have experienced, two things have happened. Number one, all of these churbanos have caused that the Har HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, has come lower. And moreover, Yerushalayim is a city that was built on ruins because it's been destroyed and rebuilt so many times, and that would make the area around the Beis HaMikdash maybe higher than the Beis HaMikdash. Many other Mepharshim explain that when the Gemara says here, Eretz Yisrael, Gevoa Mikol Haaretz, it doesn't mean necessarily in the physical sense that Israel is higher than all other countries. It means in the spiritual sense that Yisrael is the greatest place of Ruchnius. Gevoa Mikol Haaretz, it's higher in the Ruchnius Tigra understanding than all other places. Another pshat that I saw the Mepharshim suggest, the Chasam Sofer says this, we know that on the Harabayis, there is a place called the Evan Shetziyah. Shememenu Hushasa Kol Olam Kulay. The entire world was created from the Evan Shetziyah, the world expanded. So that's pshat, that's Yisrael Gevoa Mikol Haaretz, because that's Yisrael is the focal point from which the entire world was created. Ask the Gemara, so we've explained why the Mishnah uses the word Olu. However, ask the Gemara, my area, the Tana Olu Mebavel, why does the Mishnah use the words Olu Mebavel, Nisnu Olu Eretz Yisrael? The point is that Eretz Yisrael is higher, so should we be focusing on Eretz Yisrael, not on Bavel? And furthermore, as we explained, they didn't only come from Bavel. They came from all countries, answers the Gemara, Mesailei L'Rabbi Elazar. Our Mishnah, our wording of our Mishnah corroborates what Rabbi Elazar said. Damar Belazar, La'ola Ezra mi Bavel. Ezra did not leave Bavel. Ach also Kisoilus Nakia until he completely cleaned it out. Va'ola. He took out, as I've said so many times, all of the people of weak Yichus from Bavel and brought them to Eretz Yisrael. So the point is, Olum mi Bavel, he took them out of Bavel. Itmar. So now Abai says, Olum mi Aleim. These people left on their own. Rav Tanan. Rav Amar Helm Tanan. Ezra actually forced them to leave. So ask the Mefarshim back to our question. If according to Abaya, they weren't forced to leave, they just left on their own, so back to Akasha, how do we understand the wording of the Mishnah of Olum Mibavel? Olum Mibavel represents that they were forced out. According to Abaya, they weren't forced out. Answer the Mefarshim. Even according to Abaya, that they weren't forced out, they were separated. First, Ezra separated them. Once Ezra separated them, according to Rav, not only did he separate them, he actually forced them to come to Eretz Yisrael. According to Abaye, all he did was separate them. But once he separated them, they realized, everybody recognizes that we're second class. So on their own, they came up. But it all happened because of what Ezra did, and therefore even according to Abaye, the wording of Olum Mibavel is understood. Says the Gemara of Kamifiki, according to this understanding of the Machlokes of Abaye v'Rava, they're arguing over what Rabbi Elazar said. Damar Rabbi Elazar, Le'ozla Ezra mi'bavel, Ezra did not leave Bavel, Ach also Ksoilus Nakia, until he completely separated all of the people of weaker Yichus, Vola. Abaya, less like Rabbi Elazar, because according to Abaya, he didn't force them to leave. Rava, Isle de Rabbi Elazar, he forced them to leave. Ibai Seima, another way of understanding the Machloikis of Abaya and Rava, the Kula Alma Isle de Rabbi Elazar. Everybody agrees with what Rabbi Elazar says, that Ezra forced them to leave. For Hacha, Kamifugi, the question is exactly how far did it go? Masava Afrushe Frishinu, according to Abaye, he separated them. Once he separated them, they had no other option but to go up. Masava, it wasn't just that he separated them up, Rav holds, that Bakarchas, he forced them to come. Says the Gemara, Bishlon Lamandot Ma'alu, according to Mandom, according to Rava, they forced them to leave Eretz Bavel. We could understand Hainadam Rav Yehuda Mishmul. Kol Arotzis, all countries, Issa Eretz Yisrael. Issa is a dough. Now, when you make a dough, and now you see the final dough product, you don't know what was put into this dough. So he says, all countries, so a place where we can't know the status of everybody there is like a dough. We don't know what it's made up of. So he says, all countries in the world, an Issa compared to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is Bavel. And Eretz Yisrael is like a dough to Bavel. Why? Because as we just explained, Bavel was completely cleaned out. The only people that were left in Bavel were people that of perfect Yichus. So, but Eretz Yisrael has an advantage over all the other countries, because as I said earlier, Eretz Yisrael has the Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin keeps some sort of track of the Yichus. So we have three categories. All the countries of the world that have all types of people and don't have a Sanhedrin to control. Eretz Yisrael has all types of Yichus, but they have at least a Sanhedrin that could keep control of who's who. And Bavel, who only has people of perfect Yichus. Ela l'manda omer helim. But according to the manda omer, that they were forced up, made the idea, so we know who's who. So why is Eretz Yisrael considered a Issa? We know who's who. Answered the Gemara, Ne di yadi yadiyu. When they came, we're able to keep track. Lahu dar, that generation. The darachrina, la yadi, and that's why it's considered Issa. Says the Gemara, Bishlam lamando amma alu, according to mandam that they went up by themselves. Handik siv, the pasuk says, Vakapsem al nor haba al achva. Ezra says that I gathered together all the people that it was bringing to Yisrael. Vinachdu sham yom shloisha, we were there for 3 days. Vavina ba'am, and I started taking a tally who's here. Ubekahanim, umnei Levi le'matzusasham. I didn't find any Levim. Why? Because he didn't know who came. He only separated them, but he didn't force anybody to come up. So we could understand why he didn't recognize until that point that there were no Levim. However, asked the Gemara, elamandam aholam, according to the mandam that he forced them up. Hamezin Naziri, he knew who's coming. So how could it be that he only discovers later that there are no Levim? Answers the Gemara, Ned Izer B'Psulim B'Ksherim La'Izder. He only was careful to make sure, even according to the opinion of Rava, that all people who were Pasul should not remain in Bavel. Why? Because in Bavel, he was concerned now that they were leaving, there won't be proper control. But the Ksherim, he didn't have to worry about. They could remain in Bavel, and therefore he didn't know that there were no Levim that came up with him until he actually took a tally. So asks Rashi, how can we say, how can we understand the pasuk that says that there were no Levim? Our Mishnah just says, Asara yuchsin olam ibavel, kahane Levim, that there were Levim. So how does the Gemara say, how does the pasuk say there were no Levim? So Rashi quotes the famous story when Nebuchadnezzar asked the Levim to play the instruments for him that they played in the Beis HaMikdash. They said, Ech noshir Ashir Hashem al Admas Nechar, and they went and they cut off the fingers that they should be unable, they thought of the cut off the thumbs, they should be unable to play these musical instruments. So Ezra did bring up Levim, but all the Levim, when he comes to the bank over here, he sees are people without fingers. They can't play the musical instruments. And therefore, he says, oi, there are no Levim. There were Levim. There were no Levim that could play instruments. But the question is, there's a machlaikis that the Gemara discusses, if ikashir bepeh or ikashir bekli. So if we say ikashir bekli, that you have to have instruments, so we could understand Ezra's disappointment. But if ikashir bepeh, why is he disappointed? We don't have to have the keli. So the pashup shot is, that even though you don't have to have instruments, of course it's much more beautiful with instruments. Another pshat in the entire Gemara is when the Mishnah says Asar Yuchsin Olam Ibavel Kahanim V'Levim, it doesn't mean that Ezra brought up all these people. There were people that were there even before Ezra took him from Bavel. Ezra was not successful in bringing any Levi to Yisrael. Our Mishnah says there were Levim in Yisrael. Those Levim were there before Ezra arrived. They had come already earlier. But then the question is, the famous Gemara, we'll learn it, that Ezra, because he saw the Levim did not come to Eretz Yisrael, made a knas, made a fine in the Levim, that the Meiser, which the Levim are entitled to, could also go to Kahanim, or maybe some say only to Kahanim. But if the Levim, why is he making this knas? The answer is, even if we'll say that Levim came, only a very small percentage of the Levim came, and that's why Ezra was upset why so few Levim chose to come to Eretz Yisrael, and he made the knas that now the Kohanim should also be entitled to Maaser. The Mefarshim, however, also go on to say that since we're learning in our Sugya that Chasdei David says this, that Ezra was very careful that only the people of poor Yichus, that we want to separate them out from Bavel, should come to Eretz Yisrael. The people of fine Yichus, he left there. From here we see that we can't force anybody to make Aliyah, because otherwise, why did he not force the people of good Yichus to move to Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, Kahanim Levim Yisraelim. How do we know that people that were Kahanim Levim Yisraelim came to Eretz Yisrael? Menolan the Sliku. How do we know that they arrived in Eretz Yisrael? The Ksiv, V'yeshva Levim, Kahanim Levim and Am, V'mesheirim V'ashirim, V'nesinim Bareim, V'kol Yisrael Bareim. These people were in Eretz Yisrael. So obviously we have a question. Here it says that we had Mesheirim in Eretz Yisrael. Didn't I just quote a Rashi that the Levim were people without fingers and couldn't be Mesheirim? So how do we understand this pasuk? So there are two answers. Either the answer I just gave, there were Levim that were there before Ezra's time that were fine, or there are certain instruments that can be played without the thumb. So when the pasuk says Mesheirim, it's talking about Levim who were playing the other instruments. But Ezra was upset that even there were certain instruments you need the thumb, that those Levim aren't there. Chaloli Geir v'Charuri, says the Gemara, Chaloli Menolon. How do we know that Chalolim arrived in Eretz Yisrael? The Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gedoy l'Chazaka. Relying on a Chazaka has validity in Halacha. Shinema, the Pasuk says in Ezra, O b'nei Kohanim, b'nei Chavya, b'nei Akoitz, b'nei Barzilai, Ashalokach, Bimnois Barzilai Hagalodi Isha, Barzilai Hagalodi wasn't Jewish, Vyikru Shmom, Vyikru Al Shmom, Elo Biksu, Ksovim Hamasyachsim. We looked for documentation to prove that they were Kohanim, Vloy Nimtsu. They couldn't find such documentation, Vyirgalu Mena Kahuna. And they were despised, they were pushed away from the Kahuna. And as the Mepharshim explained, number one, they didn't have a Ksav Yichus. And furthermore, since we did know there were Kohanim, the married non-Jewish woman, whose children therefore are not Kohanim, so coupled with these two facts, they don't have their own Ksav Yichus. And we have this fact that some Kohanim married women that they weren't supposed to, we have to be concerned about any Kohen. V'yoyma hatrashta lahem. Who's hatrashta? So Rashi says, hatrashta is Nechemya. Why is he called hatrashta? Because Nechemya worked in the king's palace. He worked as the waiter. And what he did was, he had to serve the king wine. And the way it worked was that before you gave the king to drink wine, you had to take some yourself to make sure it wasn't poisoned, that you weren't poisoning the king. But you know how to drink stam yenom. Him, they gave a heter. Heter shosa. He got a heter to drink stam yenom. And in fact, I saw the Paiskim discuss that there's a real issue of somebody being a waiter in a non-kosher restaurant, because there may be a kosher a person who's Jewish, and you may end up serving him non-kosher wine, non-kosher food, or there's so much non-kosher food and wine there that you may end up eating it. So Nechemya got a heter. No one else has a heter. They may not eat of the Kodesh Kedoshim at Amoid Kohen Urim V'tumim. Until the Kohen gets up for the Urim V'tumim and tells us who is a Kohen and who isn't the Kohen. So sort of Chidah asks, we know, famous klal, the loy b'shemayim hi. The Torah is not b'shemayim. It's up to us to paskin. So how could you rely on the Urim V'tumim to say who is a Kohen, who isn't? So the Chidah says in the Brikya Yosef like this. If we have a halachic dispute, we can't rely on the Urim V'tumim to paskin. Here's not a halachic dispute. It's to determine a fact. Is he or isn't he a Kohen? That we can rely on the Urim V'tumim. V'olam lahem. So he told him, Arei atem b'chatzkaskem. You follow the chazaka. B'ma ha'yisem oichlem b'goyla. Why were you eating in chutzlart b'kotshe gvul? Because as we learned, even though truma and maestris only apply in Eretz Yisrael, they had extended that even in chutzlart they should give truma and maestris, that the kahanim, the levium, the poor people should have what to eat. Afkan nami b'kotshe gvul. Here too you only could eat that. Ask the Gemara, Ulamanda Amma Malam Truma Leyuchsin, according to Mandam, if we see a person eating Truma, that's a proof that he's a full-fledged Kayan. Hani Dok Truma, if we're going to allow them to continue eating Truma, Asala Sakuna, don't we have a concern that we may consider them full-fledged Kohanim? And here we say we have a concern that maybe they're not. Says the Gemara, Shani Hasan Derechas Kasayu, since we know that there's a concern about the Kohanim, we're not worried that by allowing them to eat Truma, they may come to be considered full-fledged Kohanim. Ask the Gemara, so what does my Gedol Chazaka? What does Gedol Chazaka mean? Answers the Gemara, the Mikara Ochel B'Trumad Rabbanon. In Chutz Lord, they only ate Trumad Rabbanon. L'B'Soif, in Eretz Yisrael, Echel B'Trumad Raisa. They're even allowed to eat Trumad Raisa. What is the difference between Trumad Rabbanon and Trumad Raisa? Machloikus Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that all fruits is the raisa, vegetables of the Rabbanim. Others say that all fruits that are in the Shivas Haminim are the raisa, all other fruits and vegetables are the Rabbanim. Others say that only dog and tirish v'yitzar are the raisa, everything else is the Rabbanim. And others say dog and tirish v'yitzar, it's not grapes. It's only if you made it into wine, only if you made the olives into oil. V'beis ayma, hash the nami, even now, Loyalam hash the nami b'drabbanan ochol b'deraisa loyochol. We're only going to allow them to eat truma drabbanan. We're not going to allow them to eat truma deraisa. V'chi maskinum truma liyuchsin. When is there a concern that we allow them to eat truma? We may consider him a full-fledged kohen. That's b'deraisa if he's eating truma deraisa. B'drabbanan, if he's only eating truma drabbanan, loy maskinum, nobody's going to turn him into a full-fledged kohen if he's eating truma drabbanan. Ask the Gemara, Ei hachi mai gedol chazaka. If so, what does the braisa begin? Gedol chazaka, what are we doing? Says the Gemara, the Mikara, in Chutz Loritz, we allow him to eat truma derabanan, because lekla migza mishum truma deraisa. There's nothing to be worried about that we're going to allow him to eat truma deraisa, because there is no truma deraisa in Chutz Loritz. The psoif, but when they came to Eretz Yisrael, afagav the ikla migzer, we maybe should not allow them to eat truma derabanan, because if we're going to allow them to eat truma derabanan, mishum truma deraisa, they may come to eat truma deraisa, teaches us the braisa, but the rabbanon ochel, we allowed them to continue eating truma derabanan, but the raisa le'ochel, we didn't allow them to eat truma deraisa. So, Ksiv, how could we say that we didn't allow them to eat truma deraisa? But doesn't the pasuk say, v'yoma atrashtolahem, ashala yoichlu mikoidish akadoshim, which seems to indicate, b'koidish akadoshim, hu delo yoichel, that they're not allowed to eat koidish akadoshim, they're not allowed to eat from kabonis, hakom midir nechel, everything else they're allowed to eat, all types of truma, both truma derabanan and truma deraisa. So how could you suggest, ask the Gemara, that we only allow them to eat truma derabanan, not truma deraisa? Says the Gemara, hachi kamar. This is the way to understand the pasuk. Lav midin the mikri kodesh. They may not eat something which is considered kodesh, which is truma. V'lo midin the mikri kachim, nor may they eat karbonis. Loi midi dikru kodesh, they may not eat truma which is called kodesh, the ksiv, the chazor, lo yoichel kodesh, the loi midi the mikri kodeshim, the makra, obas koyin, kisilish zor, he betrumas a kodeshim lo yoichel, the mamar, the muram and a kodeshim from a kabonis lo yoichel. And he was saying they can't eat neither truma deraisa, nor kodeshim, they could only eat truma derabon. So I saw the Maraime Sada asks, if they're not allowed to eat truma deraisa, certainly we're not going to let them eat kabonis. So why does the pasuk have to say that they didn't eat kabonis and truma? Once the pasuk says that they didn't eat truma, it's obviously they can't eat kabonis. So he answers very nicely, based on a Gemara we just learned the other day. The Gemara says that if somebody is a Basque ben Grusha ben Chalutza, if he did the Avoida, but the Avoida, it's acceptable. So we see, but that's only for Avoida, not for truma. So we see that there are certain leniencies regarding the avoida that don't apply to truma. That's why we think the fact that they don't eat truma is not necessarily an indication that they need karbonis. That's why, says the Maraim Sada, the pasuk has to mention both. Here we see, point out the Paiskim, that all kahanim are considered kohane chazaka. The kahanim that we have nowadays are not considered necessarily full-fledged kahanim, because no kohen nowadays has a perfect letter, ksav yichus, that could take him back to Aaron a Kohen, that he's a Kohen. And that's why the Paiskim say, the Gemara says, that a Bas Kohen is not allowed to marry an Amoritz. So sometimes we see the Bas Kohen marries an Amoritz. So some say, we're not clear what the definition of Amoritz is. But others say, since the Kohanim nowadays are not for sure Kohanim, that's why we could be a little more lenient who the daughter of a Kohen may marry. Furthermore, I think we've quoted this already, the Yavit says, because we're not sure who the Kohanim are, when we have a person who's a Bechor and has to have a Pinyan HaBen, so he says that a person who's a Bechor should be careful to be paid himself many times, because maybe the Kohen that he uses is not a real Kohen. So he should, every time he meets a Kohen, they say the Gura was a Bechor, every time he met a Kohen, he would do Pinyan HaBen. It's going to cost them a lot of money. The Kohen's not allowed to keep the money, says the Yavitz. Because the Kohen's only allowed to keep the money if he's for sure a Kohen. But if he's not for sure a Kohen, it's money that he may not be entitled to. So he has to give back the money. The Chasam Sofer takes issue with the Yavitz. Chasam Sofer says, if we have a person who we assume is a Kohen, we should do the Pidyon HaBen. And certainly the Kohen should keep the money that he got as a Kohen, as a for Pidyon HaBen.